Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are classing the joint up today, and I have all sorts of scratch-off tickets. I have some Ravens left here, but I have the candy cane cash. I smell like Santa Claus. John Shields is here. He is the proprietor of all things Gertrude's. We are at the BMA. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Casper Wells getting one right there. It's like all a right. fastball for Mariano Rivera as well. Our friends at GBMC also putting us out on the road, keeping us safe, and advising that I eat sauerkraut after my colonoscopy. So I have sauerkraut, kielbasa, feast of the East Baltimore Polish Venezuelan people, and John is my cousin by marriage. He's one of the great chefs here. He's given autographs to girls from LA here. And Casper Wells, former Major League Baseball player, Towson grad, and in the business of insuring Marylanders. Is that fair, Casper, to say that?
Yeah. Both personally and their businesses, yeah.
That's what baseball players do after they're done, man. Work with the Heller-Cowitz folks. You and Brian all together, man. All the ball
recruits
players,
recruits all the ball players, that's right, yeah.
Well, I invited Casper to talk a little ball. We're going to talk some Pete Alonso. I invited Dan Rodericks to talk baseball and his play in the BMA. And John and I are just going to, like, what is on the Christmas table at the Shields household? My wife's out of town. I need to adopt your family and come over and eat some fishes and some feasts, and but I brought sauerkraut and kielbasa, and I thought to myself, I'm going to ask John what I need to do to dress this up the right way for a Christmas that would be appropriate, but not necessarily my family Christmas, because it would be ham. It would be, let's see here, I would have some green bean casserole with the mushrooms and the onions. Mm-hmm. That's my thing, but I want to know your I want another idea.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you got a good basis thing going on here.
Sauerkraut and kielbasa. You can't go wrong.
Kielbasa. I mean, you can even have the ham with it. But the sauerkraut, and we're going to get back to the colonoscopy and the sauerkraut in a second.
All
okay.
Right.
Okay. But let's go into the dinner.
I'm healthy now.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean,
thank God.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we need that probiotic kind of thing.
It's good for digestion. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think down at the colonoscopy clinic they actually talked about the kielbasa. I'm just saying.
But the sauerkraut.
But the sauerkraut, yes.
All right.
Yes.
He's a sauerkraut king. That's why I'm so excited. You do a festival.
We do. We do Krautfest and all things sauerkraut and polka and everything you can imagine. So, all right. So you got your sauerkraut, right? You're going to do it with the kielbasa. You're going to simmer the kielbasa in the sauerkraut, right?
What I do is I cut the casing off, and uh-huh. I put it in the bottom, and I get a little warm, just to get it a little brown, like, you know, and then I just dump the sauerkraut on. I go low and slow, and I walk away, and I mix it up a little bit, and it crumbles into the sauerkraut. And I'll be honest, it tastes best. I make it Christmas Day usually, not this year. I'm doing a little earlier this year.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't get home till Friday, so I'm going to eat it without her because, you know, it's sauerkraut. It's not good for sleeping quarters sharing afterward.
Yeah.
But so it tastes the best on about the 28th or the 29th for me.
Uh-huh.
That when I, you know, I put it, I eat it, put it away, leftovers on the 26th, leftovers on the 27th. But the 28th, when I pull it out, I usually have like leftover mashed potatoes to kind of offset it a little bit.
Right.
It tastes so good a couple of days later. So I try not to eat it all.
Yeah.
So I was going to make it for you today and bring it down, but I'm like, you got a restaurant, you got your own thing going on.
Yeah.
And I thought the next best thing I could do is ask you what else I should get. I'm going to tell you right now, this soup that you made here, sweet potato and carrot soup topped with roasted sweet potatoes, I want that on my Christmas every year. It's so good.
All right, well, I'll tell Roxy to get
you. I'm just trying to come up with a new menu. I do Christmas my mother's way. I'm trying to find a new way for me to, like, last year, you know Dara Bungeon, correct?
Yeah, I love Dara.
She came on my show because I stole her cream corn recipe, cream corn pudding.
Yeah.
I stole it from her Facebook, and it was, I want to have it now. It was
well,
so
she
good.
Should be proud that you stole
so
it from her Facebook.
So I just want some new
thing.
Recipes.
Yeah.
That's why I come to people.
All right,
like
so, all right, you got your sauerkraut, right?
Okay.
And you're putting it in the thing. Another thing that you could do with it is go to farmer's market and get some really good kind of sour-ish apples, okay? And core them, slice those all down, and then put those in while everything's simmering. With the kielbasa.
So you put the apple in the sauerkraut?
In the sauerkraut. Then.
See,
so you can buy sour apples? Those are things
no, you know, it's more like a tart apple.
Tart
you know,
apple?
They don't do this in Schenectady, do they?
I don't know if we have tart apples up there.
And then And then, you know, if you want to get really fancy schmancy, you could get some fresh ginger, mince that up.
Never Marianne.
Put that in there. Marianne Lisinski.
Ginger Marianne.
Or Ginger Marianne.
Come on,
oh, she
man.
Was on Gilligan.
I figured you would know that.
You figure I would, wouldn't
right,
you?
Right, exactly.
So anyway, so you can put that in there, and then you can just kind of let the whole thing simmer. Now, sometimes when people are doing kielbasa, they use some beer, some darker beer, to put that in there, let that do it. Or if you're doing the apple thing with the ginger, you could get some local apple cider, put just a little of that in, let all of that simmer together, and it's like, dear God, this is amazing.
Probably good to throw a little dunkel in there.
Yeah,
dunkel.
Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, it's like the man's drank beer, you know. Casper Wells is here. Thanks for coming by and experiencing this and being a part of this. But I didn't mean to have you two together, but ball players eat. I'm sure about that.
From my experience, they do. They do indeed. And sometimes they can eat a lot. Yeah. Because they use all their calories, you see.
Yeah. I have told
I
all
can't.
Of them.
They can.
I've told all the weird stories about how I found that I was related to you on my show after Dan put this thing through. See, he said, how are we related? So if you want to, like, once a year you sit in with me,
once a year.
It's the craziest Smaltimore thing that we're related and I didn't know it.
Well, my first cousin's daughter is married to Nestor's son. So
there's a whole East Baltimore
thing
going on.
And you haven't known this. We didn't know it.
I didn't know it. He didn't know it.
Did you claim Parkville as home? Where do you claim
Parkville.
To be? Parkville's where you claim to be home. Well, I'm Dundalk through and through.
Exactly. I mean, they're very similar.
Well, the Gertrude story even comes even crazier because the first person that ever made me kielbasa and sauerkrauts name was Gertrude, Miss Gert Gibson.
Oh, really?
On Bank Street in Dundalk.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Polish family, as I remember. My wife is Polish. She's making this weekend pierogies.
Ooh.
That's what they do with my parents, my in-laws.
Yeah.
They do pierogies, and they do kapusta, and they do all of these gwomki. They do all the Polish things. So I married into a Polish family. So I have this longing that I am Italian. I've never, ever done Feast of Seven Fishes. You and Rodericks have talked about it.
He does that. Dan does it. He's the expert on it.
You don't do that.
No, I don't do
What's
that.
What's on the shield?
I'm Irish, for God's sake.
What do you do?
All we have is a ham and potatoes.
That's it. And beer.
Cabbage? Cabbage is good, too.
Ham, cabbage, potatoes.
Yeah, potatoes. Yeah, we're doing a thing here. It's called Emerald Isle New Year's Eve extravaganza, and it's everything from Ireland, and we have a carvery, we have Irish cheeses, we have oysters on the half shell. You can't get in, it's already sold out, but I hate New Year's Eve. And so what I decided last year was to do it, and it starts at 5 o'clock. We have a live stream from Dublin. The ball drops at 7 o'clock our time. I'm in bed at 10.
That's and you people know what? That's a solution for my wife. I have three kids at home. I'm like, hey, this has got to do the Irish ball drop, and then we're not going to miss. I can't stay
and you can even have the kids be a part of it at 6 o'clock,
that's
right?
That's amazing.
And
then
say, kids, got to go to bed now, and
that's
then you can
plan.
Put the party hats on. And
yeah.
It's a good idea.
You send everybody out of here at 8 o'clock, literally.
8:30. We let them. Good. We have Jimmy.
That's genius.
Jim Egan and the J. Patrick All-Stars, their Irish band. And they play all night, we have all the...
So it's like St. Patrick's Day, just less drunks.
Exactly. Well, we try to make sure that they have fun.
John Shields is here. Yeah. He is the proprietor of all things Gertrude's. Have you been to the BMA before, Casper? Have you been in this building before?
I have not.
So,
welcome.
So give everybody your background, because Casper Wells, former Major League Baseball player. I ran into him about 6 weeks ago at the Sashi Brown, Katie Griggs event. I know you through Heller Kowitz and local insurance. You're selling insurance, but you're a little bit of a Towson baseball legend, and certainly anybody in the baseball space remembers you as a player.
Yeah, well, sure. I grew up in upstate New York, went to Towson University. Mike Gottlieb was my head coach there 2002. To 2005, and then I was drafted by the Detroit Tigers in the 14th round, 2005 amateur draft. So came up in their system through the minor leagues 5 years, then in the big leagues 2010. So played parts of four seasons in the big leagues.
Were you a Toledo Mudhen?
I was.
Point?
Oh, yeah,
see
absolutely.
That? It was a real Mudhen.
That's right. and a Seawolf. I was all the things. All the things. Flying Tiger. Yeah, all these
things. What brought you back to Baltimore? Because I met you that night, and Brian's like, don't you know Casper? And out of context, I'm like, the hell's he doing here? And I'm like, oh, he went to Towson? And I'm like, what's he doing here? You know, because, I always think every ball player I've ever met settles somewhere in Ahwatukee near Phoenix or, you know, or Florida, or they live in Tampa or whatever. Especially a guy from Schenectady, like, what are you doing? What's a nice guy like you doing in a place like this?
No, yeah, it's funny you mention that. You know, it just has Baltimore's this way of like sucking you back in.
Does
you know?
It does. Yeah,
my wife's from Bel Air, so you know, we have ties here with family and everything.
Meet her at Towson then?
What's that?
You made her at Towson? During that period of life?
No, I actually met her down in Fed Hill when I went back. So I still had a, you know, obviously like 3 semesters left to get my degree. Once I got done playing, I went back to Towson to finish up, get my education, get my degree. So when I went back in 2015-16, I was working at my bar down at my buddy's bar that he opened up, Das Beer House, down in
sure.
Federal Hill. Uh-huh. And so me and my wife was also a bartender.
My
there.
Wife
we
and I have we've
yeah.
bent the elbow.
And they
at
have
that
it
bar,
now at Parkville.
Yes.
Yeah, Das Beer Hall. Is over in Parkville and in Bel Air now, so they're doing well. Scott and Mel Bauer, they've started.
Scott
that
looks great, man. He's in the best shape I've ever seen anybody in.
I know he's
got, an animal.
He's got me and my wife signed up for High Rocks in March. He coaxed us
he's
into doing that. So
Iron Man, and he lost 100 pounds.
100 pounds, yeah.
Yeah,
hasn't
I mean,
hasn't
it's
hasn't drank any alcohol for like 600 days.
I've only
it's
met
impressive.
Scott a couple of times, yeah. But so there's a real connection here. You know, my wife had her life saved on the bone marrow registry in 2014 and 2015 from a German man. And when he came to America for the first time to, you know, see America, we took him to Das Beer Hall because he's German. Mm. And we went down, and there was like a little festival going on down in Federal Hill, still there 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
And or maybe 10 years ago now. Jeez, we're getting older. Then they moved out to the barn, as I know the barn to be. Mm-hmm. You're a Parkville Kearney. You're a Park Kearney guy. So you're talking about Das Beer Hall. You're middle of Parkville, middle of Kearney, right? Yeah. I did all of my legendary shows there. Ray Lewis, the Super Bowl 35 team, Rob Woodson, Shannon Sharp, Lawrence Taylor, Buddy Ryan, all of them have been at the barn with me. We raised the trophy and took the trophy out into the middle of Harford Road that night. David Modell brought it out 25 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
So I have such a history with that space. Yeah. So when Das Beer Hall bought it, I'm like, I love that it's still so popular because I do my yoga across the street from there. So like I drive by there, but it's Smaltimore, man, you know?
And you got to trust Scott and Mel. They're not going to do anything to disrupt the, you know, nostalgia that the barn brought. And they're just bringing that German influence and just bringing some of their crowd. Same crowd that was up in Fed Hill and kind of now have graduated, have kids, and now can party over in Parkville. And
I can bend an elbow over there. It's been done before.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many crabs I've eaten in the basement of the Das Beer Hall in my lifetime?
Me too.
I taught Ray Lewis how to eat a crab there.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Back September 1996. Taught a lot of guys. Because the guys would come in and play football, and they're not like you. You came to Towson. Did you ever eat a crab from Schenectady when you came here? No.
No, but I did miss it when I was out in Arizona, let me tell you. Yeah. That's the first thing I did when we moved back here. I ate everything and all things crab pretty much for the first, you know, 3 months and didn't get sick of it by any means. You know, June, July into, I was like, hon, I miss crab so much, telling my wife, just eating everything crab.
People ask me when the crab cake tour is going to end. When's the tour over? I'm like, never.
Never.
Never. I mean, it's my brand. It's my thing now, and it brings people together. It was sort of my Monday Night Live show was always about the Ravens and about players and begging guys like you to come out that were athletes. And then the modern era of that has been problematic, to say the least, with corporate sports in a general sense. And this thing begat COVID started this. I was like, what is the thing I could do after COVID, take the masks off, where I could go everywhere in town and everyone would have a different crab cake? Some people, like John Shields, have a vegan crab cake on the menu here. I can't believe it's not crab cakes. And Odette Ramos is the one that told me I needed to come to Gertrude's and eat a vegan crab cake. So, I mean, I've had crab cakes everywhere, but the whole idea of bringing people together, a chef, like but the Chesapeake part of people like from Schenectady or people from out of town or even Dan Rogers who grew up in Massachusetts, they come here. This is Mr. Chesapeake recipe guy. And I would have, my whole life being here and being a Baltimore guy, I bet I was 25, maybe 30 before I realized they don't have crabs anywhere else in the world where they serve them the way we do here. There was a Riggins Crab House down in Florida. If you ever played in the Fort Lauderdale Stadium there as a young player, even spring training, Riggins Crab House in Florida, it's in Lantana, Florida. That dude's from Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
He's the only place in Florida, right on the freeway in 95, like by Delray, where I went in, and I swear to you, it's a crab house. You would think you're in Edgemere.
Wow.
When you went there. It's the only place I've ever been in my life. North Carolina, people do these boils up here, and they boil the crabs and whatever. And
it's illegal. It's illegal.
Even if you go from Elkton, Maryland, just go to Wilmington, you can't find a crab.
No.
Like, not the way we do them here. And I would say that that's part of your charm, that this beautiful young lady who's a musician from L.A. went and bought your book at the bookstore here and came over a minute ago to have you sign it, because the Chesapeake thing is a worldwide thing. And
it
we
is.
Don't, Parkville and Dundalk don't know, from people that eat crabs here don't really understand what a delicacy it is.
Yeah.
And why people, the minute they land, they want to get in the car and go to Costas and eat crabs, you know?
Yeah, they love them. They love them. People love crabs. Like when I opened... Back, dear God, in 1983, I opened Gertie's Chesapeake Bay Cafe in Berkeley, California. And we flew everything in from Nick Chigouris, Tommy Chigouris,
sure.
the whole family. And
Tommy's a Baltimore positive.
They went crazy. So for, I think, 100,000 crab cakes served.
You're the only guy in town.
Only guy on the West Coast doing
That's
the Chesapeake crab cakes. So they love it. They love it everywhere. You know,
you can't do it wrong, man. You got to come and do it right. We're Gertrude's. So for the holidays and for you and for celebrating, any words of wisdom? You're always, you know, one for getting family together. And this is a special time where, like Thanksgiving is, but where food is the center of, like, love and family and tradition and your gingerbread house. I mean, it's a time
exactly.
for all of that.
Well,
right?
it is. And one of the things you have to remember is what you just said. It's about tradition for most families. And so keep that in mind. One thing I tell people to do, get out to a local farmer's market, get to a local independent, buy from the people who are growing and the artisan food makers from around here, put them on your table. Also, use so many of the dishes that you grew up with, that your grandparents cooked, that your parents cooked. You don't have to go crazy with that. Keep that on the table, because as that connects us to our past. It connects us to our grandparents. And so as long as we cook those meals again, they're still alive.
You're going to make me cry.
And they're still with us. So it's really important
good.
To do that. We need to know where we're located. So get out there, cook, buy local, shop local, and make the things that are near and dear to your heart.
You going to an Orioles game this year?
I did.
I'm looking at Brooks and Frank here. I got former major league player, Casper Wells, here, who lives in the community. Pete Alonso and baseball and how baseball brings people together. You enter a room differently than me. I have a baseball last name and a baseball family member and Hall of Famer and all that stuff with Louie. But when you get introduced, people say, I played in the big leagues. I mean, even today I text you and I said to him, I said, you know, some people don't like public speaking. You know, they're nervous. He said, I've been in the box against Andy Pettit. I can handle doing. But there is something about baseball in this community and a part of maybe even in Schenectady that you were a big league player wouldn't mean as much as I played at Towson. I played in the big leagues. I'm in Baltimore. I sell insurance. I live here. I married a local girl, raised my family here. But the baseball part opens a door that you have that not a lot of humans have. Not a lot of people. A lot of people made crab cakes, John Shields, but not a lot of people hit off in the big leagues in a batter's box. And that brings some notoriety. But I think it also brings the fact that, like, hey, man, the Orioles, last place. You don't even want to talk about it when they're in last place. I know I didn't all those years either. The Pete Alonso thing has made people talk about baseball this week, which I think is awesome, you know?
Well, they're not far removed from making the playoffs as well. I mean, they had a young team. Bringing Pete in is obviously huge, but it's a big baseball town. I mean, you know, the Ravens at one point weren't here, but the Orioles were here, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history. Obviously, Cal Ripken, you know, with everything that he's done. You know, you think about me growing up watching, like, the Warehouse, just the nostalgia of just Camden Yards in general, just a great stadium.
You were a little
just
kid
to go
then,
there.
Is that right?
Yeah,
right, right.
I was a big Griffey fan, so watching him hit home runs, the All-Star game off the Warehouse, man, I mean, you know, those are memories that I have. So, obviously, everyone in my generation that's, you know, I'm 41, so everyone in the, around 40 years old, that's
my
memories that they have as well, you know.
This guy.
So,
gets away from you when they get to be, you think they're contemporary, and you're like, I got socks older than you, dog, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's a big baseball town, and they love their baseball, and they love when the Orioles are doing well. And it's obviously good all around when they're doing well. So bringing someone like Pete in is good not just for baseball, but good for businesses around, good for the vibe of the city. And, you know, I'm excited for spring training now that I'm here and get to see the polar bear in action, you know.
I had John Hoey here, who runs the Y. He was here about an hour and a half. Big Mets guy. He's a Mets fan. And he just went on and on. He's like, man, going to play every day. You got a leader. Man, that's... And I think the press conference showed a little bit, too. To your point, like, I was kidding you about, hey, you really want to come on the show? A lot of ball players. I'm like, ah, I'm going to come over, meet John. I want to have a crab cake, whatever. And I'm thinking, like, not all baseball players show up to their $155 million press conference and look the part. He looked the part to me. I didn't know a lot about him. I hadn't heard him speak much or whatever. It really felt like... From my soul of Brooks Robinson, who I knew well, and, you know, Cal Ripken, who I – like, we need that. We need that again. Adam Jones. Oh, yeah. I mean, we need somebody out in front of it. And I feel like, all right, they bought themselves relevance for a couple of years in some way, above and beyond baseball people, to try to get the city engaged in it. Because the city's different when a baseball team's doing well. 162 games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it changes the conversation around here in the summer. June, July, August. Come on, Parkville and Dundalk, crabs on the newspaper. We don't have newspapers anymore. Beer and the ball game on. Chuck Thompson. Right now, that's Baltimore.
On
right
transistor
there.
Radio.
He's got to be excited, too. You know, not going to test being a right-handed power hitter. Camden Yards is a great ballpark to be hitting the ball in. I mean, you could blast the baseball out of any ballpark.
It used to be. In your era, it was. And then they moved the fence back to Utah. And then
No, it's good. Even, like, hit at the right where he's going to have
some
fun hitting
it. I think it's playing more – like, the last year was more true than it had ever been. I was friends with Mike Messina. One of the reasons he wound up pinstripes was like, 364 in the gap? What? You know, I mean, it was a pop fly for you to come in here. You loved hitting here when it was small, right?
It was great. That's a fun batting practice for sure, yeah.
Wasn't fun if you were a pitcher, though.
No.
Not in free
agency.
Well,
I'm not a pitcher, though.
But, I mean, I think that was a real challenge for them to grow arms or buy arms that – My buddy Denny Nagel went out and pitched in the thin air out in Colorado. Made a lot of money, but didn't like his ERA. Same thing with Mike Hampton. A lot of those guys, right? So picking that spot and picking your place, that's why I thought it was so crucial that Pete Alonso picked Baltimore. Even the money and like all $155 million will get you a lot of places. It'd get John and I back to Wallea someplace eating crab cakes in Hawaii. But for him, I think it's important for him to pick a place where he can be successful, right? I mean, that's whatever... He could have had money and stayed and been a Met, right? The fact that he picked here, I think, it's a sea change. That's a major moment for me as a lifer Baltimore guy who's watched all the bad things happen here to think like, all right, maybe we are going to have a World Series here. Because I haven't thought like that.
Well, the Mets weren't going to give him what he got anyway. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, he got the best offer. But also he gets a chance to be, you know, the face of the Orioles now. Offensively, and he's just kind of he's going to relish that.
I hope he rakes, man.
Yeah, I think he will.
All right, John Shields, I got to get him back into the
kitchen. Yeah, I got to go stir that crab soup.
Listen,
I got to get back.
He's in the cauldron.
I'm going to sign off here in 2 minutes, but this sweet potato and carrot soup topped with roasted sweet potatoes is on a special menu.
Yeah,
it was just delicious.
It is so good. Yeah. You could take a bath in it. It's that
hearty winter sweet thing.
So one thing I make, you brought up like the nostalgia of like, you know, your family and having something. So for Christmas, we're Lithuanian, so we're Eastern European, right? So we'd always make stuff called vinaigrettes. It's like it's got like beets, potato, egg, pickles in it, and it's like purple, you know, when we eat it. So that's something that you just jog my memory. I need to make that just for my mom's mother on that side of the family. Just kind of bring that back and pay homage to her.
Did they make that liquor, the Lithuanian liquor, the Viticus or whatever they call it?
We don't – I mean, that's not anything I partake in.
I used to talk about this, John, on the show. I used to talk about this Ray Bachman, and listeners would start to bring hooch by.
Yeah.
They would bring this Lithuanian hooch.
Like
it was called Viticus.
Oh, the liqueur? Yeah.
Whatever it was, I had bottles of it laying around a radio station because I mentioned it on the air, and all
it's like Lithuanian absinthe, right? Like,
And Lithuanian people were calling the show, and they're like, oh, I've been drinking that for the holidays. I'm going to bring you some. And Odette Ramos, who was always here, she is the councilwoman of this area.
Yeah.
And another person that really wanted me to do the show with you before I knew you were my cousin because of the vegan crab cake, her husband, John Spurrier, DJ Redlocks, married into the Puerto Rican family. He makes coquito every year for Christmas. He boils it all down. He lives right over here. If I text him, he'll stop. He gives it to me in a little bottle. So anybody wants to send hooch my way for the holidays.
Hooch for the holiday.
I love you, John. Thank you for having me, man.
It
is always a pleasure to be here at
Go Drew's. So nice meeting you.
We're going to do more baseball as the baseball, the hot stove heats up. We need some pitching, right?
What's that?
We need some pitching, right? More pitching?
Yeah. Always.
I'm always here to spend Mr. Rubenstein's money is what I'm trying to do here. It's all I'm trying to do. We're going to sign off from Gertrude. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, the Candy Cane Cash, and our friends at GBMC who've helped kept me alive. John Shields has been keeping me alive with his very, very spirited online
They smell like Santa.
Yeah, listen.
That's good.
It's
my daughter's going to love this. It's going to be a
John Martin hates when I call him sniffers, but I'm sniffing it right
it
now.
It smells great.
It smells like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Smells like the Lithuanian absinthe.
I am signing off here. We're going to be at Planet Fitness on Monday, wrapping things up for the holiday. Luke's in Owings Mills right up until when Santa comes down the chimney and hopefully brings a Festivus for the rest of us. I am Nestor. We're WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. My thanks to Casper Wells. My thanks to John Shields. My thanks to Dan Rogers, to John Hoey, and to Councilman Mark Conway for stopping by and being a part of Baltimore Positive. We're back for more on AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Happy holidays, everybody. Eat more sauerkraut. It's good for you.